This is Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston. It's The Bike Show. It's 6:30 on Monday, or sometime on Saturday morning, if you're listening on Saturday morning. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about how to survive the winter on a bicycle. And I've been joined in the studio by Alex Crawford and Buffalo Bill, a friend of the Bike Show. Welcome both to the show.
Good evening.
Good evening, Jack. How are you?
I'm all right. Did you make it all right without getting frostbite? You've been working all day, Bill.
Yeah, I've been working all day. It's not below freezing. I mean, the water in my water bottle is liquid, so it's not below freezing. I mean, it's cold, but yeah.
Felt pretty cold to me.
And Alex is here because, among other things, she is entering her first winter in quite a few years as a London cyclist. And we're hoping to draw on the experience of Buffalo Bill and Alex has been out and about in London finding out what is the word on the street about what people should be wearing. But before we start talking about surviving the winter, I don't want to let this moment go past without mentioning the fact that London cyclist Harriet Tory was killed the week before last during the Friday morning rush hour at the junction of Clerkenwell Road and St John Street, in the heart of Clerkenwell. She was hit by a heavy goods vehicle, I think some kind of cement truck,
It was a waste disposal truck.
Waste disposal truck turning left. Spoil lorry. And although an ambulance was called to the scene, she was pronounced dead at the scene. And this is the third serious accident at that junction in the last month, all involving cyclists. And Harriet was the latest in a growing number of cyclists to have been killed by heavy goods vehicles on the streets of London. So, Bill, while the first thing to do is to extend our sympathy to Harriet's family and friends, what are the broader policy issues associated with another event of this kind?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say, it's not an accident. An accident implies something that's unavoidable, whereas obviously these kinds of collisions are completely avoidable. I mean, they're almost unknown in certain Scandinavian countries. Cyclists don't die from being run over.
Yeah, well, I mean, added to that, the Islington Gazette, which covered the story, opened up its piece on this by saying Harriet Tory, 37 years old, died in the Friday morning rush hour after she collided with a waste management truck.
That's prejudging it, obviously. It happened right outside the company that I work for when I work on the road, which is Metro Imaging. So the guys at Metro Imaging were able to tell me pretty quickly what had happened, and we've got some pictures. And from where Harriet works, which is on St John's Lane, which is one way southbound, and from the position of the truck, which, in other words, it's made a left turn southbound off St John's Street, it's pretty obvious that Harriet was going straight on and the truck turned left over her. So I don't know how the Islington Gazette has made that into Harriet running into... It's got to have been the other way around, but I can't really say... I mean, you know, without knowing what the police know, it's hard to say, yeah, it's definitely the HGV driver at fault. I mean, it's the single most dangerous manoeuvre in terms of numbers of killed and seriously injured. I mean, there is not another manoeuvre by another category of vehicle which is as dangerous as a left turn by an HGV in terms of people killed. And all seven London bicycle messengers that we know about to have been killed whilst working have all been killed by HGVs. And where we know what the vehicle was and what the manoeuvre was, you know, all four of those were left-turning HGVs, so...
And I mean, you've been running a campaign at the London Bike Messengers Association.
The LBMA I helped to initiate that campaign, and yeah, I mean, it's something that TfL is working on, but at the moment I'm no longer involved in the campaign because I'm no longer the chair of the LBMA. But my concerns, as the process went on, it seemed to be that they were focusing more on trying to get cyclists to stay away from HGVs rather than trying to educate HGV drivers that really it's not acceptable at all.
I mean, what does the campaign call for?
Well, it's. I mean, there's a range of materials that they were talking about. I mean,
What do you want?
What I'd like to see is, what I'd like to see is much more serious penalties for drivers that kill. Because I mean, this is a driver that's killed someone, and in the case of Sebastian, where the driver concerned didn't look in his mirrors, and if he had looked in his mirrors, he would have seen Sebastian. That's what we found. He was prosecuted for driving without due care. And he was given a 6-point endorsement and £1,000 fine. And we know that he was making £24,000 a year. So he was fined half a month's wages and given, a relatively trivial administrative penalty. Now, I mean, I would like to see any driver that kills, where they're at fault, to suffer much greater consequences. And I cannot understand how a driver that kills in those circumstances is allowed to keep his license at all. Never mind, endorsements, never mind taking it away. I just don't understand how they can be allowed to be given their licences back at any point in the future. But, yeah. So that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see much more serious penalties. Not necessarily jail sentences, but I don't want those guys to be driving.
Well, we'll have to return to this issue and we'll be following this case on the bike show.
Trafalgar, variable, becoming mainly west or northwest 3 or 4. Thundery showers, good, occasionally moderate. South Fitzroy, variable 3 or 4, becoming mainly west or southwest 4 or 5. Occasional rain or thundery showers, good, occasionally moderate. Bailey, south or southeast 6 or 7, occasionally gale 8. Occasional rain or drizzle, good, occasionally moderate.
Well, sometimes it does feel like you need to consult with the shipping forecast before you get out on your bike on a wintry morning, and it's been really cold these last few weeks. And we're going to be talking for the rest of the show about how to survive the winter. And Alex, you're heading out into your first winter. What have you been doing so far?
Well, first of all, I went to some of my local. I live in southeast London, so I went around a few of the shops and I. Just to find out what's hot and what's not this winter and sort of for their advice as to what I should get to really look after myself. So that my first port of call was Edwards in Camberwell.
As you know, it's getting darker a lot quicker. So a lot of people are focusing on reflective stuff. I mean, a lot of women are going for the Nevis jacket by Altura, mainly because it's so reflective. You've got pockets at the back. I mean, if you get hot, they're fully breathable. You've got zips on the side of them. They were called about $49.99. But I mean, if you come to us, we'll sort you out a deal. Another thing that, because they're getting darker quicker, they're getting a lot more reflective light tapes that goes over your chest or around your waist or even armbands or trouser bands. They've got reflective ones as well.
In terms of lights, is it best to have flashing ones? Because mine aren't flashing, they're just standard.
Flashing saves you battery, that's it. Let me just show you a couple. Yeah. One of the best lights you'll probably get is one of these cat eyes, super bright LED, 25,000. That's because it's so bright, it gives you a lot of features. You could either have a flashing, standard beam, or up and down. Obviously, the flashing saves you a lot of battery. There you go, flashing, 30 hours, constant mode, 15 hours. It's the same with front lights as well. I mean, one of these cat eyes here, it lasts you up to 200 hours runtime, and they're really strong because you've got 5 LEDs there. I mean, that's really good for the winter. If you want to just to be seen, you can go with the flashing. But if you want, like, I know sometimes it gets foggy and stuff like that, or if you go down a really dark road, these are the best because they've actually got a powerful beam.
In terms of keeping warm, what would you recommend people do?
We've got a lot of thermal wear. Let me show you some of those as well. Hats are nice because these keep your head warm. There's a few different types.
Very trendy as well.
Yeah, you got these nice ones here from Asos. You got the more standard woolly ones, but they're really reinforced inside. You got the cycling socks; they're quite warm as well. It's called a body insulation by Asos as well. That's like a vest that goes underneath. just looks plain, but it's unbelievable how warm it keeps you, though. Those are quite good. And then you also have got the ones that can go underneath your pants as well. They're quite good.
Sorry, underneath your pants?
Yeah, well, your trousers.
Oh, okay.
Or your jeans. also, on the other side, we've got waterproof and warm pants or trousers. And they can go over your jeans or whatever. And they're quite good as well, yeah.
And what about gloves? Because my hands get so cold.
Oh, there's one here. These winter gloves are quite good. There's a few different types. If you want to be cheap, you'll just get something that will basically just cover your hands. If you want to spend a little more money, you get breathable and windproof. If you want to spend a little bit more money, you get something that's breathable, windproof, and insulated.
And wetproof.
Yeah, waterproof, sorry. Yeah, and waterproof, yeah.
Cool. And so what else is selling really well this year? Anything in particular?
Bikes. No, a lot of people are choosing to ride to work a lot more. And the best thing to go for is a hybrid instead of a mountain bike, because hybrids basically got bigger wheels, less road resistance because they've got slick tires. They're basically designed for the road. A better gear ratio. Yeah, all around better for the city and commuting.
What do you ride?
Kind of a car. Yeah. When the other occasion, like summer, I use something like a hybrid.
Why summer? Why do you give up in the winter?
It's too cold for me.
Even with all these fantastic things that you could wear?
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm just a lazy person.
I'm here in Brixton, in Brixton Cycles, and I'm talking to...
Simon, of Brixton Cycles, yeah.
So can you tell me, what is hot and what is not this winter?
This winter, you want to be looking after your bicycle and yourself. Waterproofs and warm gloves and hats and stuff like that. That's pretty important. In terms of the bike, mudguards are a brilliant idea because they keep all the crap off your bike and they keep your bike will run for longer as well.
Are there any particular brands that are selling well?
Yeah, I mean, things like Gore in terms of waterproofs, Freestyle, Perlizumi, those are the sorts of things that we have. Gill, those are makes of waterproofs that we sell.
But do you have to spend a lot of money to get things right?
Not necessarily, no. No, if you want to get a waterproof or something that's going to make a bigger difference than a normal cagoule, then you need to spend sort of from about £50 upwards, and you'll get something that's not waterproof, but that's water resistant and that'll keep the wind off and allow your skin to breathe better, because a lot of clothing keeps you kind of really damp and sweaty, and you don't really want that.
Have you noticed more people coming into the shop this year?
Definitely, there's been a big increase in cycling this year, definitely. Massive. Partly to do with the congestion charge, partly to do with the bombs, unfortunately. And the other thing is that Londoners are getting, clued up in terms of being able to get around in London. It is a lot easier on a bicycle. It really is.
Do you think people will stop now that it's getting so bitterly cold out there?
They will, unless they get comfortable on their bike, yeah. And unless they sort of change. I mean, people that have been running for ages, or the last 4 or 5 years in London, will carry on riding. When it's -3, -4, then it does become uncomfortable on a bike, unless you've got warm gloves, warm hat. Cycling glasses are quite important because your eyes get really cold on a bicycle, which is something that people don't think about before, eyes watering and all that sort of stuff. And like I say, mudguards, brilliant idea. Really simple. Brilliant idea. Get some mudguards on your bike if you want to ride through the winter. One of the things that we do see quite a lot, which is quite scary, is people cycling around in football shorts on their bike, and your knees are just gonna suffer a lot if you ride. I know some people get, some people are warm on their bike, but cycling shorts and tights over the top of that, or trousers or waterproof trousers, but not just jogging pants or jogging shorts, you'll freeze.
And how important is visibility? Is that the most important thing, or is it your own comfort?
Both are very important. Visibility is important. Reflective gear, it is helpful. It doesn't give you the right to act badly on a bike, which some people think it does, but reflectives are useful. Scotch-like stuff. You can get reflective armbands and reflective leg bands, and they help. People are worried about looking a bit naff, with that sort of stuff on, but it can really help. Comfort's really important, being visible is important, acting, being safe on your bike is important, not busting through, so many red lights, which people don't like cyclists for, you know, understandably they don't like cyclists for, is it's important to sort of like adjust your behaviour.
Presumably even more so when it's dark and cold and wet.
Absolutely, and of course lights. Lights are really important, so bright, good set of bright lights on your bike. Dynamos are great. They're quite old, you know, old-fashioned idea, but dynamos are really good.
What are dynamos?
Dynamos are where you are, have a little generator mounted on the tyre or in the hub, and you power your own lights. So you're self-sufficient in terms of making your own electricity, and you make your own lights work.
So no need for batteries?
Absolutely no need for batteries.
Wow. Anything else that's flying off the shelves?
Locks and lights are always popular, you know, in London, quite important.
Yes, because places like, we won't mention names, but some of the big superstores, they have bins full of really cheap, very tempting looking locks, but which are actually probably not very good.
Yeah, spend as much as you can afford on a lock, because, yeah, they're really important.
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, when the rain, do you remember how sweet it used to be?
Well, Bill, they say that, well, the London Cycling Campaign says that if you cycle to work at the same time every day, the chances are you'll only get wet 12 times a day. What do you reckon?
12 times a year.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Right?
I really hope not.
I think that's probably true, actually, yeah. It's actually funny to hear Simon talking about locks, because I was thinking about the times when I've been wet and cold as a messenger, and if you get wet and cold as a messenger, then, especially if it's early in the day, then you start to feel really miserable. And there have been days when I've actually left my bike unlocked because I've been so miserable that I wanted my bike to be stolen so I wouldn't have to work anymore. So I know what it's like to be wet and cold.
I mean, what are your top tips?
Wear a hat. Any hat that keeps you warm is good. I mean, this
as well
hat
as
is,
your helmet?
No, don't wear a helmet. It's a waste of time. No, it's a waste of time. Helmets are, helmets don't save lives. If you get run over by a truck, having a helmet on is going to make no difference at all.
Don't you find, though, that drivers treat you with more respect?
No, they take the piss. Oh, sorry. They're more inclined to take liberties, and there's a whole sort of kettle of fish which we're opening up.
All right, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I think the most important thing is to keep your head warm. If your head's isn't warm, then the rest of you won't be warm. So, I mean, and then keep your extremities warm, depending on what sort of person you are.
Because, yeah, I've been sporting a kind of Peruvian knitted wool hat with the ear flaps, which, I don't know, you know, it feels quite nice, and I think it's incredibly stylish, but...
Is it as stupid as this?
You've got a Campagnolo hat.
Yeah, it's a wool one.
And it's a wool one. Oh, it's a sort of merino wool style. But the interesting thing about Campagnolo is that the whole cycling componentry company that has now come to be the kind of top end of cycling bits was begun as a result of a bad weather experience on the top of a mountain pass in the Dolomites,
because the Coast Dawn Pass,
Tullio Campagnolo was in a cycling race over the Dolomites in November, I think. I've looked it up. November 1927, and he had to get his rear wheel off because he had a puncture, and his hands were so cold that he couldn't kind of grip the wing nuts to get it off. So he thought, I'll go back to my workshop and think about this. And 3 years later, I don't know why it took 3 years, but he came up with the quick release lever. For getting your wheels off quickly, and the rest is cycling history.
The rest is cycling history. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm wearing today. I wouldn't wear this normally if I wasn't working as a messenger. I mean, you know, I don't think it's necessary to wear really technical clothing to ride around London. I think, I mean, what Alex has got on is probably fine. If you,
you don't like my boots, though, do you?
No, it's just the boots are suede. So the only thing I'd be concerned about that is, you know, the first time it is a bit of wet weather. The boots are going to get ruined. I mean, but yeah. I mean, I
have coated them in a sort of suede-y spray thing.
Have you?
Don't know if that will do anything. Spray thing.
Well, if we're now,
intriguing.
Yeah, it's not the suede-y spray thing you've got to worry about. It's the salt. Because like, they've already started putting salt down. Salt's a massive... It's like the worst enemy of the cyclist. I mean, forget rain, ice, snow. The big enemy of the cyclist in winter is salt. Because salt, good reason to put mudguards on. Salt gets into everything. It wrecks your bike. My bike's like one day of salt and my bike's already... a piece of junk after one day of salt, and then it gets into your clothes, it gets, you know, it dissolves the road surface, so you get this horrible black spray up your clothes.
Oh gosh, I haven't encountered that yet.
No.
Well, if we're talking about how to combine functionality with style, I think there's no better company that at the moment is demonstrating that than Rafa, who are on a mission to bring luxurious, high quality, high functionality clothes to an admittedly wealthy audience, because their stuff is really expensive.
A few quid in our pocket, yeah.
But anyway, I went along to talk with Simon Mottram, who runs Rafa, to ask him what made their clothes so special.
They're just a bit more luxurious, really. We try and take longer to design them to make them work better. We try to use better fabrics when we can, and we have them made better, so we use the right factories that double stitch everything, and then we try and style them in a way that people just want to wear them, whereas most bike clothes you really don't want to wear. You wear them because you have to. And it seems to be catching on.
And what have you got lined up for this winter to keep people warm through the dark months?
Well, as part of the ongoing rush towards merino, we've got a whole load of merino wool products, from base layers and socks and arm warmers through to a rather delightful pure merino training top we've just done with Lyland Scott, which is made of two-ply merino wool. It's got a Swiss zip. It's incredibly toasty warm, and I'm boiling up at the moment. And it's got all the classic details, like ribbed cuffs and ribbed collar. Very generous fit.
And how does it cope with the wind?
It's got a bit of windproofing, because merino wool is good for that. But you need to wear a windproof top layer if you're going to ride it on the bike. But to go with it, we also do gloves, which we've been very successful with some African hair sheep leather gloves, which are the softest, strongest leather you can get.
Hang on, what is an African hair sheep?
It's a sheep that lives on the savannah in Africa, and where it's very hot and very dry. And because it's so hot and dry, they have to have very, very thin hide. And that makes for amazingly soft and thin, but very strong leather. So we have our gloves made of that, as do RAF pilots. So it feels like you're actually not wearing gloves at all. It's like a second skin. And then we use padding from Army sniper gloves, which is incredibly thin, but amazingly well padded, so you get really good cushioning for without all that bunginess. And we've just done some of these in long fingered versions with silk lining, which will keep your hands nice and toasty during the cold snap we're having at the moment.
And last time we spoke, you mentioned that you were developing some plus fours, kind of harking back to the olden days. Have those come off the production line yet?
Almost. They're due in February. They're made of a Swiss fabric, which is stain resistant and water resistant. Very, very simple cut. Very unlike all the kind of mountain bike baggy stuff that you can get, or the classic commuter wear. Much more stylish. And they should be with us by the end of February.
And where can you buy Rafa clothes?
The best place is our website, rafa.cc. But we also have a number of shops in London. Condor Cycles is the place to go. But we've now got an expanding empire from Stoke-on-Trent to Tokyo.
Well, African hair sheep, you're going to be rushing out of the studio to order a pair of those online?
I'm going to be banging on the warehouse door in Kentish Town tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. going, give me my African hair sheep underwear.
Sounds very itchy to me.
Well, no, that's on the outside. They're silk lined on the inside.
Oh, yeah. Silk. I wasn't listening, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it can get a bit too far. I mean, I think
you're fine wearing... To me, if you're riding to work, you should wear street clothes and some waterproofs. And then you'll be fine.
But if it encourages people to...
Yeah, if you want to blow loads of money on it, then fine. But it really is... For you, like, you're a utility cyclist, what I characterise as a utility cyclist, yeah? Which means that the bike's as a means to an end. It's not like, for me, the bike is the end, you know, the bike is everything.
The beginning, the middle, and
the
end.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I don't think you need to give up everything. If you put mudguards on a bike, then you can wear street clothes. And then
what about those things that go over your shoes?
Overshoes.
Yeah. Like neoprene overshoes. Well, that's like something that I've never tried.
Yeah, but they've like with like the shoes I've got on, they provide almost no protection because you can only wear a thin pair of socks underneath them, and then they don't really keep the rain out. So with a thin pair of shoes, then the overshoes is what you need because you can't put thick socks underneath it, if you see what I mean. But if you wear just like sensible shoes like those, if they weren't suede.
Like mine.
if they weren't suede, they'd be fine.
But then sometimes when you just kind of have to realise that you're going to get an absolute soaking.
Well, yeah, but then a decent pair of set of waterproofs.
Well, I think actually what you do have to do is you have to kind of get into the zen of it.
Being wet.
And just think, I'm going to be wet. And you have to go through this kind of whole process of...
It's okay to be wet. Of
like...
Thing.
Imagining when you were somewhere really hot and you were like on the beach and you were roasting away and like it kind of all falls away and you're like, I'm going to get home in a bit. I'm going to like have a nice hot drink and like get in the bath and I'm going to get dry and I won't know any later. I mean, if you have a smile in your face,
it doesn't matter if it takes 2 hours to thaw.
The wetness is half the problem.
Yeah, you get to a stage where you're so wet you couldn't get any wetter, and that's rock bottom in wet terms.
You just have to go with the flow then, don't you?
Anywhere after that is drier, so.
I think it's you have to start enjoying it.
We're not going to end on that hopeful note, are we?
The overcoming the winter through Zen cycling on The Bike Show on Resonance FM. Thanks very much, Alex and Bill,
for
coming into the show.
Pleasure.
And there'll be more at the same time next week.